All right. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the PHP News Network here on BBS Radio and TV along with Rumble, y'all. That's right. We are on BBS now. You can check us out in 38 countries, and we will be promoting that and showing you how to do that later today. And I will add it in the description box on the Rumble account as well. So my next guest, you guys, I'm super excited. And by the way, I am just Jody, and I am your host. And my next guest is amazing. He's also a good friend of mine. I truly am always enamored with him. His life circumstances have become something that I just totally admire, actually, and they are nothing but incredible that have led him into a world of intelligence like no other. I can say that by the age of 13, he had taken multiple IQ tests, testing above 150, and that was confirming that he was among some of the world's most intelligent individuals. There's so many things I can pick his brain about. He has attended more colleges than anyone I know, including my own physicians. He has spent his last 9 years being devoted to being a research development scientist. That's right. So please welcome my good friend, Mr. Dr. Jeffrey Horlick is here.
You, my friends and sister. I love to call all the people that we come into with as brothers and sisters. That way,
amen.
Yeah, God bless us. Yeah, I want to treat everyone individually and as their self, because we're all so different.
We truly are, and it's so beautiful. And that is within what I say, your healing, you know, vibrational frequency that you carry when we listen to you speak. But let's get people on a track of who you are, where you came from, and where, you know, it all kind of stemmed for you as growing into adulthood before entering any colleges or your last 9 years.
Thanks.
Let's introduce them to who you are. So let's tell the world today about Dr. Jeffrey Horlick as a kid. Because you had some incredible experiences.
Well, what makes me so different is not as much the number of 150 IQ, which I had to have tested because I wasn't following the instructions of my public school teachers. I just was from a very, very intelligent family, but I wasn't following the rules. And my parents couldn't figure out, no one could figure out why I wouldn't follow the rules. And that would be pay attention to what it is that they wanted to teach me. And it took until the age of 30 to figure out that I have a very unusual DNA structure. And to make a long story short, to get to have my IQ tested at a young age was to pay for and have a scholarship to go to a school on the North Shore of Long Island. It's called the Gold Coast. The Vanderbilts had large estates, the Rockefellers. And the private school that I got a scholarship to based on my IQ test was called Fidel. And what made it so unusual was that you could go to this school as a problem child. But in my case, I wasn't causing problems. I just wasn't following directions because I didn't like what I was hearing. And I would have been probably back in the days considered labeled as being a child that would need Ritalin. And they probably, if they had Ritalin back then, would have given it to me and I would have been compliant. But they didn't have such a thing. So they gave me a series of these tests to figure out if I'm smart. They figured out that I'm very, very smart. And I got a scholarship to go to this school, which enabled me now to take all seniors classes. And I found that to be something that kept me quiet because I was interested.
And you were probably around the age of fourth grade?
Fourth grade and fifth grade. But by the time I entered sixth grade, everything went off the table because I went through puberty. And those chemicals, and I'm going to back up a step. Most of the people in the world have 46 chromosomes. You get 22 plus a sex hormone from your mother and father, making 23. And when they get together with the male, you also get 22 plus X or a Y. Then when you put them all together, you get 46 chromosomes in a boy and a girl. But there are some instances, like in my case, where the 46 don't always connect together the way they're supposed to. And in conception, many things can happen. In my case, I have, if you count the chromosomes, it shows 45. But in one of my pairs, it shows 3 chromosomes with one really, really long chain. And I wouldn't have known about this, and they didn't know about this when giving me an IQ test. I only discovered this anomaly when I and my ex of 20-some-odd years had an amnio, because she was concerned that there might be some, who knows, my ex had worked with fundamentally challenged children from a biological and an environmental background. And she wanted to rule out any biological abnormalities. So it came back with this anomaly showing only 45 chromosomes, and she started to freak out. I also was a little bit taken aback because I said, how is a person with 45 chromosomes going to grow up normally? So I started to do some studying, and then they did a blood test immediately of my ex and I to find out if my son was inherited it from me or my ex. And they found out that he inherited it from me. So the geneticist decided, okay, now the picture's coming together for me, because I know I'm not retarded. I know I'm not fundamentally challenged. So I have this anomaly, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, so now my son has, and my ex actually is considering terminating the child, not knowing it. And I'm like, I'm great. I have a very fulfilled life.
Because typically, you know, I have a disabled daughter and they have more chromosomes or split chromosomes. Like, you know, I knew someone who, it's a sad story. We won't get into Grace Shara and her story of passing away in medical tyranny. It's definitely a sad story, but she would always say, you know, she had a love chromosome, that she had an extra chromosome because she had a love chromosome, and that was her Down syndrome, right? And with you, it's like the polar opposite. You have one less with this anomaly of intelligence.
All of the material is now, when some people have Down syndrome, when they have what mine's called the mutation. So all the material's there, and you can have a mutation that's full, meaning all the material is mutated on top of the others, or you can have partial. You can have a non-balanced, an unbalanced translocation. And in that case, it would cause other different anomalies. So when you have a full like mine, maybe I could have been born with an extra arm or something very noticeable, but mine is very subtle. So no one notices an Asperger's, and no one notices other. I'm just, if you spend enough time with me, one could then very comfortably start seeing a pattern of behavior that's a little bit out of what's normal. Like, I don't think normally people just drop out of society and spend 6 hours learning about J.D. Vance because he was just chosen as the vice president. So mine, maybe it's that the 3 chromosomes all clamped together make it less time to travel. So immediately, okay, what books have been written by J.D. Vance? This is going to be the vice president.
This is what makes you valuable to all of us, because you are correct. We're going in different directions. For me, I have to take a moment, even on social media. I'm sure everyone's seen me. Okay, yes, I'm going to support my president. I'm voting Trump no matter what, but I need a moment. I need a moment. And you go right into, I'm going to find out about this guy. I'm going to read everything I can. And literally, I've watched you like read a book in a day, like a book every day.
Yeah. Like,
You can read a book a day. It's incredible.
The way to escape the what I find, like many people find, and more so today, television, and you've had to have other guests say this, so I'm just going to be redundant to say television is split into three words. Tell, a, vision. But that's not it. It's also programming. Yeah. So you have this box. Before it was a radio, and it's telling you a vision of a program that they want you to believe. And I guess I understood this at a long time ago, that I didn't want to learn the programs that I was being shown, with the exception of Star Trek. I found that reaching for the stars was something that I wanted to always do, challenge myself to be able to read a book. If I wanted to read two books, because I wanted to learn the material. And this is where the educational process breaks down. And even J.D. Vance mentions it in his book last night, that what got him into reading and education was that he had a love for football. And this was at a young age. And people did, only his mother knew. And his mother was also a drug addict. He's very explicit about all the little minutiae that how he grew up. But she found that he was so focused and loved it so much that she tapped into it by getting him a book on statistics in football. And he absorbed it. And that was the trick with me. If someone was able to find the material that I was interested in, but no one could read my mind, and at a young age, I couldn't articulate what it is that I wanted to learn. But as I've gotten older, now I'm able to control. And about 9.5 years ago, I decided that I'm going to start taking control over my brain and start creating a new life for myself, because the one thing I became accustomed to was had to change. What people don't know about me, and maybe you're learning for the first time today, is that I slipped down a flight of stairs 9.5 years ago, and I did a severe amount of damage requiring 4 sets of operations to repair my spine and my right leg. Mm-hmm. And in the course of the 9 years of all these operations and recovery, I needed to learn how to live my life on new terms. Now, I wouldn't be able to do marathons anymore, and I couldn't work out. I couldn't defend myself physically the way I used to be, or at least I thought I wouldn't be able to. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know if I was going to be able to make money financially by standing up and going around doing things. So I decided to use my brains to learn as much as I can about things to open up a whole new set of doors and opportunities. That was my strategy 9 years ago. And I have been on a nonstop journey, reading lots of books in areas that interest me. And you mentioned briefly that you hadn't met anyone who's been to so many different colleges.
Incredible. Like, yeah, the list is incredible, the way down to like Harvard Medical School. I mean, it's really incredible to watch that you've taken the initiative to knowledge yourself so much, and then later come back and determine knowledge is your power versus what was indoctrination. Like, you are very good at that. You're very good at separating what the world wants you to believe versus what is real, and watching, you know, you put things together shows me that no matter where you've been to school. So why did that unravel that you went? I mean, there's a long list. Can I go through them? Let me pull them up.
Yeah, sure.
It was really incredible list. So let's get into the schools. Here we go. There's so many, you guys. So we start with, I'm going to probably say it wrong, Fidel School for Gifted Students, Hewlett High School in Long Island, Nasu Community College, Arizona State University, New York University, Adelphi University, National Federation of High School Sports, American Red Cross, ACIETS, East Coast Instructors Training School, Nassau, Stony Brook University, Long Island University, and Harvard Medical School. I mean, it's incredible. How did you get in that place?
Yeah, well, it's ongoing. I'm actually registered now at MIT to take more classes because I
love you so much.
Thank you. One of the classes, these are from Harvard. These are all the different classes, improving memory. And I think that it's very important for us to use our brains to question things, like you asking me questions and us talking about subjects. I find very helpful when I'm prepared and I read and I know and understand. So each particular college that you read off had a very distinct purpose. And each one individually, let's say Arizona State, was to prove to many people that I couldn't play Division I football for the best school in the country. So when I was told that I can't do that because I'm not able, I'm not capable, that's like telling me, go, you must do this.
Yep, amen.
That's how I interpret it. When my high school coach said, Jeff, you're not going to be a Division I football player, just forget it. That's all I needed to put a fire under myself to say.
Okay. I have to just interrupt you for a second because I think it was Fitz who told me about football. And as soon as I met you, I knew in person. Ladies, we have to say Dr. Horlick is a looker. He is a big, handsome man. So I just want to let that be known, ladies, because in his chair, you're not going to, you know that his size is incredible. The most gentle giant, though, I've ever met. So anyway, back to that.
I'm flattered.
Sure. So, and Arizona, they said, no, you're not going to be able to do this. And you said,
I'm going to. And my parents were very angry with me for taking that position because I was a good football player. And I was an okay student because, again, I knew I was smart, but I was told by my parents, get through school, don't make trouble, and you could go into your dad's candy business.
Yeah.
Or the real estate business. So I had nothing to lose by just doing okay in school, not trying to be the valedictorian, get by, but enjoy football. I got scholarship offers, but not to the school that I wanted. I wanted to play for the best school in the country. And at that time, the Sun Devils, Arizona State, had just beaten Michigan in the Rose Bowl in 1987. So I set my standards high. I said that to myself that if I go out there as a walk-on, they're only going to take two players from the entire student body, which at night school was 125,000 students. And I was taking a risk by going ahead and saying, no, I'm not going to take these scholarships that are guaranteed. And instead, I'm going to drive out to Arizona, go and as a walk-on against a couple of thousand people to see if I could pass the test to make the team. So to make this fun, long story short, part of the condition of this Robertsonian, it's actually called the Robertsonian translocation, is that I have very large hands, very large feet, size 16 sneaker. So in the morning of the tryouts at Arizona State, I didn't have my cleats with me, which are very critical when you're trying to go for a football tryout because you slide around.
Right.
And I had a little private talk with the coaches who were cracking up at my problem because they never had this situation before. You look back in 1987, 1988, weren't able to walk into a store and get a pair of cleats that was size 16. Right. Today, it's a different world. You go up onto Amazon, I could have cleats tomorrow. But after I explained to them the story, they understood that my original numbers, when these thousand some odd students took all these There was five major tests you have to do as a walk-on. You have to run very fast at a 40-yard dash. You have to bench press a certain amount of weight, certain amount of times. You have to squat, and then you have to do something called figure four. And everything gets timed and measured, and they will go ahead and bring you on the team if you fit. So fortunately, of the thousands, I was one of the two people that was picked. So that was almost mission accomplished. Why mission command? Every little thing that I do is like a mission. My mission to learn about J.D. Vance. I'm on a mission. I'm going to learn by the time I wake up in the morning everything I could know. I wanted to go to Arizona State to prove my coaches wrong from high school and to prove other people that say I couldn't do something. Dude, so I took classes that were just interesting. I knew I could go into the candy business or real estate. So I took business classes at that particular university and stayed there for a year so that I could play football, keep up, see how I was. Okay. So that was Arizona State. But then I realized as my friends were graduating colleges, they were getting jobs and starting their lives, and I felt less about myself. I felt like I didn't have a specific diploma on my wall, and my friends did. And I felt like maybe I was missing out on something. So I decided to continue, just that maybe I didn't need it, but I felt that by going to, let's say, Adelphi, which was one of the schools that you read at night, I was getting into the candy business of my family. And I found that taking night classes at Delphi could fit into my schedule. So I started taking that. When I wanted to and had a child, I took a lot more classes on different things that would help me. I became a lifeguard in my spare time because I wanted to teach my son how to swim, but also show him and be a role model that if I could become a lifeguard in my 40s, that you could do anything you want and you don't necessarily need to have a diploma on your wall. So while I attended 7, 8 universities, each one was very specific. Like CW Post had an extremely good program for cyber recognition of bullying. And it was one full semester of learning, being taught everything to be on the signs of other people bullying people. And it helped. It helped teach me so much to identify where it was happening. And some of our friends started to get picked on online. And I said, and I'm going to name names. Like we had these crazy In the Matrix, this two other accounts, and they were doxing people and saying terrible things about General Flynn, who we both admire so much. And we
will back up off the general. You will see me get all Irish hair. Will just stand up.
Mine is by your energy from it, because I feel, as I believe you do too, he's been through hell and back as his family, and I'm very defensive. I like him. So when these people went after him, I had taken, and these cybersecurity and how to deal with people like these. And I saw them straight up for what they were doing. And I recorded a video, and someone took about 7, 8 minutes of that video and put it out there, and it became viral, letting these guys know that they have not contributed anything to the movement. And I pulled up the Fifth Generation Warfare book series by the Flynn and by Boone, and I said, and these, what have you, they've contributed this. They're teaching us. They're showing us. What have you ever done to help other people? And I was glad that I took the cyber stuff and I took public speaking courses in anticipation of who knows when I'm going to be in front of people. And I won an award for leader.
That is amazing.
Leaders of Excellence in Organization and Images. And the Leo Award, it's on my back shelf. It's my favorite award, but I gave it in front. I got it in front of 2,500 individuals from Philip Morris to Mars Hershey. There was a black tie event, and I was the second annual winner. and had to go up and accept the award and speak. Unfortunately, of those colleges, a lot of them I was preparing, if I should have an opportunity to publicly speak, to feel comfortable and taking classes, and they give you a subject matter. And I even remember the subject matter in the public speaking because it was the Family Leave Act. Men and women, how much time should they have off after a pregnancy? And I gave that. I can't remember exactly what my position was back then. This was a long time ago. But I said, well, public speaking is probably pretty good. But then once I ended up getting salmonella poisoning when I was in third grade, and then later on, before going out to Arizona, I contracted malaria. So these illnesses, and also me thinking that I'm very different from other people without knowing yet that I have this or not. Yeah.
Before you get to that part, let's talk about the malaria, I mean, because you've actually had similar spiritual experiences to me, right? And we've left this world a couple times. So I was interested in reading that because I always see you as such a spiritual person as well. And when I was reading about, you know, a little bit through your bio, I was like, now it makes sense. Now I understand my empathic intuitive connection and the light that I always see when you're around. So tell me what happened as a small child and then later again with malaria. You guys went on a trip, right? So what happened initially when you had that circumstance of leaving this world and having to be resuscitated?
It's painful. Leading up to both incidences, there's a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. When you deal with salmonella, it's a poisoning. And how it's exactly contracted in my specific case was never identified, but the salmonella itself in my system was. But what it does is it kills you. And it does it by shutting your systems down, your fluids. And unfortunately, when you're very young, I was in third grade when I was diagnosed and sent to the hospital. You lose so much fluids that your heart just doesn't have enough to continue. So what I recall is that they're trying to, this is an emergency situation as I enter the hospital because I'm not very lucid. So I remember them trying to stick needles in my arm, but I grew up in the candy industry and I had a fat layer over my skin, which I don't have now, but I used to. So it made it challenging. So it was very painful sticking. So I remember that. And then being waiting in an outside room to be assigned and then eventually getting in a room and then all of a sudden feeling a very hard pain on my chest and then waking up. Now, this is in third grade. So my malaria happened later when I was 19 and just graduated high school. So those memories are a little bit more crisper. So salmonella, because I had gotten so sick, dropped so many fluids that my heart just gave out. And
it's just horrible to hear. And I'm going to just stop for a second to tell you that with my first child, my son, when he was a baby, he was not a crier. And there was a day we were at my sister's and he would not stop crying. This baby was in pain. We thought we had gas or something. We tried everything. So eventually I had to go to the doctor that evening. And I've had this physician since, you know, as a pediatrician myself at this point, you know, I was a 24-year-old mom and they could not figure it out after blood tests and lots of stuff. He had salmonella poisoning and we could not figure out why. So we did the dye through the contrast of some sort testing. I'm so hoarse today from talking so much. Sorry. but with that came the results, you know, that he had salmonella and scared us to death. We had no idea how he would get this horrible thing. And I'm 24 years old going, what is happening? To the point to where in our state, you have to send a social worker, and then they show up at my house and they're like, you can't get salmonella. Like, these people are like amazing parents, you know, like law enforcement, like they're in love with this baby. Like, this is not our normal situation that you would see. So of course they walked out with a whatever, everything is great, but he was treated for that for 1 month and miraculously it was gone. Like, we never had to be hospitalized over this, but you know what? At a year old, he contracted pneumonia easily and other things. And we always were concerned, did he stem with these things, you know, from being sick as an infant for a month or whatever. But I just wanted to jump in and say that's a very scary disease that I had never heard about in my entire life. Yeah. The closest we got to an identification on it was the possibility of like eggshells being too close to like baby sanitizers or, you know, the bottles where you're washing in hot water back then, which later for us went back to boiling, like boiling everything because we were so freaked out. That's the closest we ever got to figuring that out. But so for you, you didn't get a full answer either.
Like you, once you start looking up, you find that it's potentially, you could be touching an animal, a turtle that might be, you could have been poisoned for all I know.
Right.
This spurred me to want to, at a young age, not experience the trauma that I just experienced. So I started to want to learn more about healthy things. That took off when I caught malaria. So that happened right before I went out to Arizona State. I was in the best shape of my life, and my parents wanted to take me to Africa and do a photo safari in Northeast Africa, Kenya, our home base. And from there, we'd take a bus that had a lift-up ceiling, just my mother, my father, sister, and I, with our guide who stayed with us the entire time. We'd get to an animal preserve, and each preserve we'd stay X number of days, 3 days at this one, 4 days here, and each place was unique. One was called Treetops because the hotel was on top of trees, and underneath there was a watering hole. So this was a really fascinating trip. But I didn't want to go for two reasons. The first was that I would be going out to Arizona in 5 or so months, and I wanted to continue to work on my athletic prowess so that I would be the number one or two person chosen. So all of a sudden, my parents hit me with this. We're going to go to Africa, and they expected me to be very excited about it. But I put up a fight, and I was crying, upset. I didn't want to go. I kind of foretold. I said, I don't want to go on a trip to a place where you have to take injections. I was already very fearful from having the trauma from salmonella. I didn't like the medical community, especially when you're heavy and they had to stick you so many times. It just, all bad memories. So I didn't want to go to Africa, a place where you could potentially get malaria. So it ended up, they gave all four of us injections before we went. I was the only one that came down with the malaria. And because I was so frightened of doctors, and I didn't go to the hospital or my doctor until it was a little late, because parasites, which malaria is, and there's five types, varying of degrees, and each of them have a different aspect. Like one of them can come back to you later on in life, remain dormant. Fortunately, that wasn't the one that I had. But of the five types, there's one that is very deadly. And that's the one that I ended up getting. So evidently, supposedly, I was bitten somewhere in the last few days of my trip, and I started to feel sick, like a typical flu. And I was hiding the symptoms from my family because I didn't really want to go back into the system. I get back to the United States. On the way back, we stop off in Holland. And at this point, my mother and father are watching me very closely, and they could see I'm not right. There's something just wrong. And they were able to have my temperature taken, and it was high. And it was like 102, 103, but then it disappeared. What happens with when you got bit or you get a parasite of malaria in your body, they start to eat each other and grow, and they grow quickly. And as they're growing, you will get a spike in your fever of at a point it was up to 106 plus, and then it would disappear. A lot like someone going into labor. When you begin labor, you get a pain, and then it dissipates for a period of time. And then it wait. And then all of a sudden, X number of minutes later, it comes back. And you have this again, it hurts. It's this baby wanting to come out, kicking. Malaria is similar. As these things are growing, I would have less of amount of time between when my temperature would spike. So when a woman is pregnant and she would have her contractions and such, she would then be able to rest for, let's say, 10 minutes. She'd rest up, and then here we go again. And that amount of time would go ahead and dissipate until the time the baby is born, and then it's relief. The endorphins and other chemicals kick in, and it's not so bad.
Right.
So this was happening with the malaria. I would have about an hour rest before my fever would spike. And over the course of days, that amount of time of rest would shorten. So I would have a spike to 105, 106. It would last for several minutes. My body would go into convulsions, shaking. And my body would cramp up like a woman who was in giving birth, your whole body uncontrollable cramping. So it got to the point where it was so bad in the first few days that my heart stopped. And I remember very distinctly praying to God. Yes, and you said it right. I have a very strong connection to God. It's my personal relationship with Him that I make very known. I absolutely love God. I remember praying so much to not let me die. And I remember having a picture of my father who almost died once by doing something silly, taking on a swimming challenge that he should not have done. And when I was pounced with the pads to bring me up, I remember distinctly my father on shore telling me that it's going to be okay. And that was my feeling, okay, I'm going to live. And I recall many, many, many doctors around me at the time. People in the United States, physicians, don't get to see patients with malaria. It's just not common here. So the room was constantly for a month filled with physicians coming to visit and to feel and talk to me about what it's like. It got to the point I said to the doctors, this must stop. I can't continually talk about it. And to these physicians, I need the time to rest. I just basically had my baby. They electrocuted me. I'm getting back to my the time that is needed to fight this off wasn't as long. I wasn't having to shake and I wasn't having convulsions for longer period. It was going away. It was like the ship leaving the dock, and I was getting better after that series, that episode. So malaria then took me to that, okay, I said to myself when I had salmonella, I'm going to learn and not get sick anymore. But I did get sick. I got malaria. So now I have to double, triple my effort. I get a job working at General Nutrition Centers for a year to try to learn how to help, trying not to use the medical system, but try to figure out what vitamins I should take and what's the proper working out schedule I should have and what's the appropriate foods. But we are getting bombarded by misinformation from all over the place. We hear, don't eat meat, eat meat. Don't eat eggs, don't drink milk. They turn the pyramid upside down and round, telling us what's right, what's wrong. They say, okay, you have an issue with your thinking.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You should be on a medicine. So they are pills now.
You know what makes me so upset is that who are they to say what is normal and what is not? Why is anybody else's thinking any less than someone else's? I get so irritated by that I'm like, you know what? Maybe they're the one that has an incorrect mutation. Maybe it's not you or these people over here or myself or whoever. Maybe that is literally them, you know? Since we seem to be the ones that are always closer to God, right?
Very much so. And so, there's an agreement we have that the educational system, as we know it, is not fit for most students. Mm-mm. It wasn't fit for me, and it isn't fit for most people in the way it's set up. And I have my ideas, as many people do, in seeing how we could restructure the educational system to fit most people's needs. And it's no easy task.
No, we're going to need to do a show about that sometime.
We certainly could.
Yeah, because that would be a good one.
I agree with you because I think that the majority see the faults with the DEI and the tenure. Tenure could probably be one of the worst things ever invented.
I watched brilliant kids my age totally get in trouble because they were way beyond their learning capacity of what was being taught. Like they were beyond that. That was boring to them, or they weren't understanding in the way that it was being taught. And then we watched the whole system change, which I don't want to get off on this too much. When we had kids later in life, you know, and I'm watching them go to like core. What's that called? The core of mathematics and the core of all these things, which now we can't even teach our children these things because we didn't learn those ways. And we're like, wait a minute. What are you doing here with the educational system? And, it's a hot mess. But I don't want to get off on it too much because we have another half of the show to go into. And I want to hear about Vance's book. But let's set that up a little bit, if you don't mind. Now that I kind of have the crowd involved with who you are, what you've been through, and all of your amazingness, and also your research and development. I mean, it's incredible watching you work as a scientist. You know, that's really impressive to me. And I want to hear more about that too. But last night was a big night. So we're going to hit this news a little bit. So, you know, Trump gets all the votes, right? He gets all the delegate votes, you guys. And there was obviously, you know, the shooting that happened at the Pennsylvania rally. You know, God bless the man that died as well. We haven't spoke nearly enough about him. I just want to put my blessings out to his family and God bless them all. There's a lot of support going on across America for that family. And you guys can get involved with that too. And it's almost anywhere under his name on any social media site. I will find a link and leave that within this video here on BBS and Rumble. But let's talk a little bit. So, you know, last night there was a huge contrast of the anger, the anxiety that had marked the previous few days. And some delegates were literally chanting fight, 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 which are the same words Trump was seen kind of expressing when he jumped up to let us know he was alive. And I have to say that we should not all just be thankful and grateful as we cast our votes, but obviously get behind him and his support. Is everything, including his VP pick, which many people have crowded and stated their opinions and social media. And I've been one of them that, you know, that can go in a lot of ways. It's okay to keep your eyes open and we don't have to agree, but when you believe in President Trump, you're going to reach out, you're going to support him no matter what. And that's what we're going to do. We know the wicked intelligence of this man, the beautiful intelligence of this man. He is beyond the decisions he makes. He's always, you know, prepared. And if you doubt previous decisions he's made, my advice to you would be to do what Dr. Horlick has done. And, really get into the research of Mr. Vance himself. I have, some of mine goes the opposite direction of learning the positive things. I would suggest following maybe CAG Drogo on Twitter if you want to learn a little bit about some of that. His threads are very interesting right now, and you can learn about other things and kind of make your own, decision based upon your knowledge and your research. However, I think it's really important that right now he's chosen him, and we realize that who he chooses is where my support is going to go. So I want to state that. But let's get into the most beautiful thing I've seen, Dr. Horlick. It was so beautiful. I was bawling. I was literally crying. I'm like, whoa, 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 I want to see this again. And it's him walking out at the RNC. It was so empowering. It was so beautiful. Like, you know, obviously Lee Greenwood is singing. We have no idea this is happening. I did notice, if you guys want to take note when you watch this, his Secret Service detail has changed. There is a lot more people there. Thank you, Jesus. Let's hit on that real quick before we play the video, actually. There was a congressman who introduced the bill to strip Trump of his Secret Service detail, and he went completely silent after the assassination attempt. So this was the office of the Representative Benny Thompson, and he went silent Monday when asked by the Tennessee Star whether Thompson, who introduced that bill to strip him of that detail, had planned on chiming in whatsoever. Later, we find out that, you know, that wasn't his intent. His assistant didn't tell him, and now she's fired. So all I have to say to that is there was nobody on the planet that did not know President Trump had been shot, okay, and that this assassination attempt on him had occurred, and there was an assassination. Let's be clear. There was an innocent man, a literal hero, a firefighter who was protecting his wife and his daughter. So this guy was an assassin, and I'm okay saying that. Somebody did die there. So let's get that clear, because I keep hearing people say, the failed attempt, the failed. I'm like, no, it wasn't. There was another life lost, and in our world, no patriot is above another, right? President Trump is our public leader for sure.
But thank you, Jody. I was hoping you were going to say something about that situation, because the news cycle changes so incredibly fast. And if the powers that be could have everyone focus on the vice presidential pick instead of the fact that there was an assassination taking place the day before, I don't and want people to lose sight over this situation, because this was not normal by any book. And I think that what Jesse Waters, I heard in the replay, say was that they are not going to let this go. I don't want to let it go. No one should let this go. This is going to be the JFK of our time, but we're not going to let the Zapruder film disappear. We need answers. We demand answers. We must have the answers, because we know that a nefarious activity took place with 100% certainty. There is no doubt that this was a planned event, and it got to be brought down to exactly what happened. And we must have to be told who the players were and so on and so forth. Yeah, and this J.D. Vance was an interesting pick, and it's a distraction. Go for it.
Yeah, I wanted to say one thing about him before we play the clip and get into him. It was a distraction. It was 2 days earlier than it was supposed to be being announced. And I have, you know, this solace look on Trump's face when he came out. I think you're going to notice this and feel it as well. He was not only grateful to be alive and to be there, but there was something that was very different with our president and emotional, and it was easy to see versus him just being the strong leader that he's always been. And when he shakes his hand, he looks like, welcome to my team kind of thing. Was he jumping for joy like I've seen him with General Flynn? patting him on the back and all that stuff. No, but that does not mean that the people that we need the most around him aren't going to be there. I do see a place for General Flynn. I do see a place for Kash Patel, you know, and all of the people that contribute to his safety as well as the security of our nation. So I want you to see this clip. Are you ready? Because I know you were reading and researching, and we're going to get to that after this clip.
Love it.
All right, here we go. I'm excited.
Start again. Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. Because the flag still stands for freedom.
Alrighty then, my video is going to need just a moment. We're going to go ahead, take our commercial break, and then we'll discuss that clip and discuss the research into J.D. Vance. We're going to go ahead right now, and I'm going to show you guys the Flynn movie that you're going to click below. You're going to go there and watch it because every American must see the Flynn movie. There is nothing but the truth there. You will feel the truth. You will not just see the truth. And here comes the Flynn clip real quick. We're going to play these bills. Click that link down below. Thank you very much. Here we go.
Former National Security Advisor, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, pleading guilty today to lying to the FBI.
Flynn knew exactly how the system worked. He knew exactly what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding. They had to get rid of Flynn.
There was a moment where I just felt like I was drowning. So I'm in there with these other political appointees. They're all supposed to go in there and tell what they believe to be the truth. What they did was they took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
He was, by definition, the most dangerous possible person for Donald Trump to hire.
President Obama said, but I do have one specific recommendation. Stay away from Michael Flynn. He's bad news.
Over time, instead of being pounded down below the surface of the ocean, we started to fight. I'm now above the surface.
Alrighty, that is the greatest clip of his movie. There's so many fabulous ones. I love the intro story about him being underwater and now he's on the surface. But let's get back to that clip real quick. His face, I don't know what happened to my footage between if it turned out blurry, I do apologize. It was not that way when we uploaded. I will say this. His face was very solace and appreciative to be there. And that one line in that movie or in that song from Lee Greenwood, I think, what is it? I think my lucky stars, I'm alive or I'm here or something like that. It's just so meaningful when he's walking out. And the detail was thick. And if you notice the huge, big black box behind him, I mean, I was really into who's got his safety. You know, this is my concern from here on out. And that is my biggest concern with J.D. Vance. Is always the safety of President Trump, infiltration from within. And I do not want to see any kind of reverse infiltration or any weird anything going on here. So, you know, that was my biggest concern. So tell me what you learned about him, because I'm working on, I will say, out of the gates when he came out, I was like, oh, I love him. He's great, right? And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. He was the never Trumper, which he's apologized for. And explained. And I know he's got that hillbilly movie out. I can't think of what it's called. Hillbilly Eulogy or something like that.
Elegy.
Yeah. So that movie is out. And I know that a lot of people are saying, you know, let's look at the roots here. Let's talk about roots. Let's talk about being a Marine. Let's talk about those things. And those things make me feel very good about our future. And before we get into them, one more time, I'm just going to say my thing was, who are we passing the baton to in 2028? Okay. And when we pass this baton, is it going to be somebody who's 44 years old at that time, who has been a junior senator, all of these things? Well, that makes me feel better in some sort of way. That he wasn't a career politician all along. That kind of made me feel a little better. That he, you know, is an American first agenda. But I do remind myself of other things, like Pence claimed he was, you know. There was a lot of stuff. So I'm just holding on right now, saying, President Trump, I trust you. I love you. And we're going to go with that. So tell me what you learned. Let's hear it. Okay. What's the name of his book?
You had it right. It's called Hillbilly Elegy. And it's his memoirs that take place from birth to age 31, or right about when he graduates from Yale. And what you haven't said, and what I know, is that General Flynn, I wanted as vice president. And I think that many people wanted it. And I mentioned to you that what General Flynn had told me and told others privately was that he was looking for the job that John Kelly had as the White House. He's the former Marine. I think he was four-star general, but he was in charge of the White House. He was the chief of staff. And when I had this little private conversation with General Flynn, around the time the movie came out, because people wanted to know, this was after Trump called General Flynn the evening on stage of The Great Awakening, letting him know to stay healthy, that he has a job for him. And many people began to speculate what that job could potentially be, including myself. I thought, okay, the natural fit would be to have someone who could take over immediately should General Flynn, should Trump have an issue of some sort. And to me, naturally, that, and J.D. Vance was not on the radar for me at all. And I wasn't disappointed that Flynn wasn't picked. Once I started to understand that there's a greater strategy going on here, that it doesn't really matter to General Flynn, because he wants to look every single person that's going to come into that White House as an employee. I can't think of another person I would want to interview, anyone who's going to work in the White House, with the, I want General Flynn to do it. He said, I want to be able to look every single person that comes into this White House. I want to look them in the eyes, and I want to be able to know if they're good or bad. So he was saying, I want this position.
I agree. He did state that to me as well, in some way, shape, or form. I will say comfortably that there's a lot of positions that he's going to be able to empower. My only problem is, we know POTUS can adjust, you know, and redefine the role of vice presidency. So I was like, come on, you know, like, that is the best seat to run for 2028, right? And, you know, that was my big hang up that I've got to get over. And as a Flynn affiliate, I'm just going to put it out there that General Flynn told us publicly he will serve wherever he is needed. And yes, he would prefer to keep the deep state players away from President Trump and look them in the face, you know?
Yeah, so. I mentioned Peter Navarro briefly, because you look at someone like that. He wrote several books, as did Lee Smith, about what was happening in the White House communications, what we didn't know about. And it was fascinating to hear Peter Navarro, who had a lot to want to communicate to Flynn, but was unable to Trump, but was unable to because the chief house of staff was making all sorts of ridiculous rules. If you want to communicate with Trump, you had to go through him first, Kelly first. And Kelly wasn't getting the information to Trump that he needed to receive. And that was clearly stated in both by Steve Bannon and in his shows, but in Peter Navarro's writing and Lee Smith's. They all had problems in communicating with Trump. So I think going into this new 2024, he needed someone. Yes, Flynn would do anything and protect Trump with a bullet, definitely, as most of us would. And I see now that J.D. Vance fits a very specific niche. This is a guy who really struggled. When I say struggled as from a 0 to 30-year-old, he didn't have a father figure. And that's because his father was out of the picture. And his mother was very addicted to drugs and wasn't always there. It's incredible to see how well he's turned out thus far, given the environment that he grew up in. Fortunately, he had a grandmother and grandfather who he was who took care of him and were role models. But they, unfortunately, had substance issues as well. And this is not necessarily a bad thing. This is a good thing in my estimation, because I could imagine Trump looking at this new vice president as someone who needs a father figure, someone who's very young, someone who's in very early 40s, maybe 39 now, who he can take under his wing. This J.D. Vance is begging for a father figure, someone who he could learn from. And I think that he probably got very bad advice from the rhinos, who initially probably took him under their wing and said, look, become one of us. But I think that he was street smart enough to understand some of the people closest to him, his mother and his father, weren't the greatest of role models. And you brought up a great thing, a term of called separation, you know, how to be able to separate these different issues. And I think you mentioned in terms of that you really had admiration and still have this incredible admiration and hope for big things with General Flynn, and being not getting over it, but dealing with the situation is crucial. And I think that by knowing that you have this young man in this J.D. Vance who's been able to go ahead and accomplish quite a bit, and I need to learn a lot more about from 31 to where he is today in business, because someone's business success it says a lot about how they get along with people. So I'm going to be on the lookout for more materials that are going to teach me what had happened from ages 31 going onwards. And maybe someday my pipe dream is to be involved in the White House and getting to meet the individuals and maybe even help General Flynn identify these anomalies that are weaknesses potentially that could be harmful to the Trump administration and we the people. I'm not afraid of anything.
You would be amazing. Yeah, you would be amazing. And
fair, I'd be fair.
Yes, you would be very fair. And when I look at the, you know, the long haul, I'm always a big picture girl. And I think about the excitement that surrounds President Trump mostly. There's always an excitement to, oh, wow, President Trump is speaking, you know, all these great things. And the deflation and what we went through over the weekend and the scary and the prayer and how deflated we became quickly, why the left was still putting out really bad stuff, or the liberals, and TikTok was like, oh, you missed your shot, and blah, 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 we can't even get that right, and da, 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 you know, and all these horrific things. Yeah, you will never see MAGA do that. You won't see Make America Great people wishing bad things upon other people. We don't do that. We don't sit here and wish for that. Like, even Joe Biden, we pray for him, right? We pray for Joe Biden, and that's really necessary. This is what it takes. And he's a hard one to pray for, because he's the one who put a lot of the Flynn family through a lot of crap with Obama. So, if we can pray for them, I would hope that they're praying for peace in our country too, because it's a time to unite. This is a uniting time in our country, and the uniting that doesn't happen will not be on the lack of the right. And I can promise you that. Now, here's something I will say. Vance supposedly is in business with Peter Thiel, and he serves on the steering committee. And the steering committee is of a globalist Bilderberg group. And that bothers me. That reminds me of counterinsurgency, reverse infiltration. So I'm never hung up totally on what they have done. I do know that Don Jr. has always liked him and probably knows most of his dealings. And if he doesn't, I'm sure they will learn them soon. So there's things like that that bother me that we need to definitely keep in mind. However, I mean, how far do we go? How far do we actually go with our opinion? You know, they have something in the works here, and we need to fully understand what those works are, because you can get into this pretty deep. You know, you can really, I have a few notes on it here. Let me see. So the name changes. If you look into this, I'll put you guys on a roll of this. He's had a lot of name changes with CNN, Netflix, he was born, and this is, based off of quick research, but it needs to be researched, as a James Donald Bowman. And then later, James Donald Bowman is JD. That makes sense, right? That's his first and last name, but he became James Hamill, which was his stepfather's surname, right? And then adopted his grandparents' surname later, which is Vance. Okay, we got a lot of name changes here going on. And that was a concern, but then he did become a contributor in 2017 for CNN. That right there was like, stop, corrupt news network. As a independent news person, I just want to say that I couldn't work for CNN ever. I've worked for free for 4 years doing this for free and paid not even for free. I am paying for a network to do this, to put out the truth, because of places like CNN. So to me, I got concerns, and those are my flags. I'm assuming little old me can see that. So they already know this. So what are they doing with it? There's something. Right?
You're absolutely right to feel concerned. That's normal. I'm going to share stuff, but I know you're not finished.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say, through it all, when I look at the big picture of President Trump's dealings and handlings and what he's done, he has exposed these people for those things, and he will rise them to do so. And if that's the case, great. If not, and he believes in him, that's better. That's better, because we want a solid VP. We want somebody who can take that baton and lead us and be there and handle the things that are coming. And I'm going to throw this wrench into it, because this is not hopium. This is just positivity. If we can get the real results of the 2020 election, we might not be passing a baton in 2028. We might recover our lost 4 years. You never know. So there's lots of things that my little brain's doing. Imagine what a federal system is doing, or a campaign or an administration such as Trump's. If my little brain is grabbing these little insights, and I'm by far an intellect, okay? I'm a broadcaster.
Don't sell yourself short.
Oh, thank you.
Thinking that you have a small brain, because you don't. You brought up very important the issues, like the changing of the names. And there's an actual logic behind it, because at the age of 6, JD was officially abandoned on paper. So he got rid of his father's last name. And while he didn't like Bob, who was his stepdad, because his stepdad was not good to his mom. Mm. So he respected him enough. He was the only father figure he knew. So he switched it to Bob. But then Bob got violent with his mother and had bad situation. So around the age of 9, 10, he took the last name of his grandfather, who, as I mentioned earlier, not in this, but privately, his true role models were both his grandmother and grandfather. Because his mother and father were both addicted and not able to fully take care of him, his grandparents stepped in. And that's when he took eventually his grandfather's last name. So that's why there's three name changes. It had to do with his identity. And
that makes sense. He's still developing it.
And I think he's still developing. We're young and have a lot of growing to do. And I think that should, in hindsight, if you or I might have been given an opportunity at CNN, yeah, I think you and I might take it if we made sure that they didn't go ahead and subvert what we wanted to say.
But yeah, they would fire me on day one for telling the truth.
Yeah. If we knew they would be okay with us saying it, we would have been okay. But we learned from Tucker, you can't say it. And Jesse's hanging on, so hopefully they won't get rid of him. Because they get rid of him, talk about an uproar. Especially now that Jesse said, we're not going to let this thing go with this assassination. So wow. I'm very curious to see how far they take it.
And yeah, we're definitely digging into, I'm certain, the Secret Service that was present that, you know, didn't act quickly. Now, an article I read yesterday referenced that he said, this was the Secret Service speaking, he said in the article that somebody wrote that they had him in his scope for 3 minutes. And he was told he could not take the shot. Not yet. So I don't know what they were assessing, but that's usually not how it goes. Even as, you know, the wife of a SWAT commander for, you know, 17 years, he did that. And perimeters that are being set and whatnot, that perimeter should have been cleared as soon as they knew it was there. And there was an officer who climbed up those steps. Did you see this? He climbed up, he saw him, and he went down. And I don't know what he was doing, but typically, I guess without backup, you don't infiltrate, right? You don't infiltrate yet because you need somebody else, right? You know, because if you kill him, like, they're holding the law responsible for taking lives out now instead of protecting them, you know? So that's another thing. Law enforcement isn't free to do their job in this world. So he was probably like, if I take him out, I'm going to prison because he isn't shooting his weapon at me. He's going that way with it. You know, city law enforcement doesn't have the same authority without being told to take the shot. So there's a lot of things in play there. Personally, I am so fearless. I would have rolled up on that roof and jumped on his back or something, like diverted and made like a big confusion. Like, I know many people would have, you know, and why these people are screaming, he's got a weapon, and they're telling them. That footage to me was heartbreaking because you can start to hear the fear within the people and the people who were there with their young children, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's fearful for children. And I don't want to be somebody who believes in fear mongering. You know, I would go to any rally from here on out. No problem. Any RNC convention, anywhere Trump is at, I would still go without a problem. So I do want to voice that too.
That's good and important. And you mentioned Kash Patel and others who hopefully will be, we know for a fact, they will be in the next administration. And it's funny you mentioned it because he said something that many people didn't get and it didn't go around enough. So I'll mention it now. He said that he is going to make sure that there is a very specific office available that to be online from the day they take office to ensure that the information about what we're talking about, this most recent assassination attempt, But more importantly, Day of Pigs, World War II, 9/11, Kennedy assassination, that there's going to be a disclosure office, is what he said, that he is going to be heading up to set up day one to ensure that we have all access to everything that Trump is going to disclose. So I'm glad you mentioned him, because he also has that movie coming out based on American Gangster's book. And I loved that book. I read about anywhere from 100 to 300, depending on my mood, of books. And 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, when his American Gangster came out, I laughed and I enjoyed so much. I had been looking forward to meeting him at the Great Awakening shows. And I've been to two in the media room and I haven't met him yet, but I made plans. I'm going to meet him this time to discuss how much I enjoyed, because we grew up in the shadows of each other. He grew up in Queens. I grew up by Kennedy Airport. And while there's a big age difference, almost 20 years, he's a young guy. He's accomplished so much and he tells a story. Unlike other authors that I've read from, I could go on and on. He's very funny. I haven't met him personally, but I think you have, and others in our group have. And everyone says he's such a funny guy. And I could tell by reading his book and he's forthcoming. He talks about his family. I love when you read a person's book and they share their experiences with their family. And he did so. So I'm not surprised that he's got a movie coming out. And hopefully I get a chance to see it as soon as it does. There's some other people you mentioned too, really good people that are going to come back and disclosures will be coming in. It's going to be healthy for everyone. And I'm on a mission, and that's to make the world a better place through whatever avenues I can, understanding how corrupt our medical and educational system is, and being very outspoken, I hope will enable me to have a platform with some of the people who have decision-making capabilities and could implement some ideas or enhance what my ideas are, whether it's to make ozone legal and available for the treatment of viruses. I mean, something as insignificant as that change could save many millions of lives. So the educational system, too, we both know screwed up, and I've been giving lots of support. Hopefully that'll change. But our everyday lives is calling us. So I presume we're going to make another time sometime soon and just go over some more things. The way things are happening now so quickly, who knows what's happened in just the short period of time we've been talking.
I am not kidding you. I am not kidding you. And I'm really looking forward to doing some other shows about other topics. I was hoping to get this upload. Let me see if it is anywhere near in here, which I have not seen yet. There was the most beautiful, strong, powerful video that went out yesterday. And I have not been able to find it. And it's been trying to upload since we've been on here. So I'm hoping that it goes through. I just hit it again to see so we could show this new video that came out yesterday, which is kind of a campaign ad, but not really addy. And my thing was if we could back up for a second to Vance, I didn't feel like we needed the votes. So that wasn't really going to target. And then I watched that interview of Trump speaking before the shooting. And that interview included, I don't want to knock down the VP spot as not important, because it is. But there's other spots as well, as he goes on or whatnot. He's like, but if something happened unforgivably, it would become important, right? So then the shooting happens, and that was horrible. So I don't know if it was kind of even his way then of telling us, it's not going to be Cash. It's not going to be General Flynn. It's not going to be the national security people that I need on my team with me every day, keeping the White House clean and draining the swamp. keeping the swamp drained was huge for me, because we're not there yet.
No, not even close by what we see. No, just the assassination. It's not right. Right there says to you a lot of work still needs to be done.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's so much of that occurring right now as we watch people kind of sign off and go and leave and retire. And I'm like, good, get out. Get out of our house, right?
I think both of us are not immune, have not been immune to hearing the different theories of what has happened during the Trump administration and during the pause of the period of time that we are today.
Yeah.
Now, we, you and I, and many of the people in the audience are well aware of moves that were taken to bring down the deep state. And the general public hasn't seen it to the extent that you and I and our peer group are aware of. Now, some of the theory in some of our peer groups are a little bit outlandish, and you see that from face value. But then there are some people within our group who hit the nail on the head and could see certain messages that are definitively being sent out for us to understand and try to explain to others. To discern which of the messages our friends are picking up is the correct one and interpreting it is the most challenging thing. Because sometimes they come up with some of the craziest things that you could possibly imagine. And I do entertain everything because in science there is a plausible possibility of almost anything happening.
Yeah.
So we both entertain a lot. Some easy to tell, others it takes a little bit more time. But time will tell. Which, and all these things that happened over the past 8 years that we know about, where there are people wearing masks, and there's a lot of funny things going on, and a lot has been already done with these helping children, rescuing children, that people are going to be shocked when the general public understands how much has already been done.
Mm-hmm.
And how that movie Sound of Freedom kind of woke a lot of people up. And it's there's a lot more to go. We both know.
It really is. And I can say to everybody who's not very, I guess, aware of the amount of human trafficking, or if you are and you would like to get involved, to go to America's Future, right? AmericasFuture.com.net. General Flynn has started that. It's one of the longest running nonprofit organizations for the protection of children. So that's really important that people continue to get involved in their area. Now, unfortunately, our time is up today. I'm so bummed because you have to come back very soon.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, please. I want to thank you for being here, my friend.
I seriously
appreciate you in so many ways. And I'm looking forward to coming back on sometime really soon. And we'll get together on another topic and maybe cover some educational stuff that needs to be covered within the education system that's not correct. You know, people need to know and go from there. And some of the bills that are being written regarding our education and what it takes to be, and you better get on the school board and all those great things, right? So thank you, Dr. Horlick. Let's tell everybody where they can find you. It is listed down below in the description box.
Yeah,
tell them how to follow you.
Okay. If you want to know more about me and want to know my businesses, what I've done in the candy industry or in the real estate or any of the others, you could go to LinkedIn and just type my name. For the moment, I'm still there. If I write an article about COVID and stuff, I might not be there the following day. But I find that Truth Social is allowing me to say whatever I want, and my handle, because there you can't just put Jeffrey Horlick or Dr. Horlick. You have to put Mission Command as one word, Mission Command. And to find me on Twitter, it's just Dr. Dr. Jeff Horlick. Those are the two primary. You could get in touch with me, and I try to answer everybody's question. Lots of people need help. I try to help everyone I can. Sometimes I can't, and I won't, but God bless you, Judy, everyone out there. to family, to friends, to coworkers, to your neighbors, to the people that are important to you, and to the people that feel that they're alone. Believe me, you're not alone. Always reach out, you know, whenever the worst of times. That's my advice. Just know you're not alone. If you have to pick up a diary, a piece of paper, start writing down your feelings.
That's amazing. We're gonna go out on a clip today. You are one of my favorite people, and I just want to say God bless you. And we're gonna go out like we always do. God bless you all. God bless POTUS45 and God bless America. I'm just Jody. This is Patriots Helping Patriots, and we are gonna see y'all soon.